just welcome those who are joining us online. It's great to see you, whatever stage of the week, whatever time that you're joining us. It's always great to have you with us. And I hope that you feel really blessed by this talk, as we will here in the building, but great to see you. So I'll kick off. My name is Ruth Gives, because it would have been on the screen and you would have been able to read it, but I'll tell you. And I'm on the staff team and the teaching team here in Holy Trinity. And for those who don't know me, my work is usually with the traditional side of the church. But, you know, now and again, they allow me venture in. When we're really stuck, they drag Ruth in. No, I'm joking. That's not what happens. So we're in this series called This is the Way. And last week, Scott kicked off the series and he reminded us in that talk about how we are loved and the very foundation of our journey as disciples. This series is all about our journey in discipleship. So the very foundation of that is that we know that we are loved by God. Just as Jesus, as he was coming out of the water after his baptism, the heavens opened and a dove descended and the voice was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I well pleased." And God says those words to us today, that we are his beloved. We see it right through scripture. We are his people. We are loved by him. We are loved with a love that is incomparable. And Scott told us, if you heard the talk last week, the closest he could come to was when he realized the love that he has for his son, Daniel, that he would do anything for him and that he loves him unconditionally. And that is the way it is for us as followers and believers and those of us who trust in Jesus. We are his children. So Scott introduced the series last week with an example from Star Wars, or more specifically, The Mandalorian. Now, to be honest, I have no idea what he was talking about. I don't know anything about The Mandalorian, but I was listening online. In fact, I probably played it about 5 times to really hear what he was saying. No, I'm joking. But he told us about the Mandalorians, and they often talk within their community about following the way. And the way in their context is a set of rules in their community, which is probably still the same for us. We follow scripture, we follow the Bible, we follow the rules. So this week we have some references from scripture about the way. They would have come up on the screen, but they're not going to. So Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, "This is the way, walk in it." Jeremiah 6:16 talks about standing at the crossroads, if anybody knows that verse, standing at the crossroads and ask for the ancient paths. And it says, "Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." Walking in the way of Jesus, walking in a life of discipleship gives us rest for our souls. And then in Exodus 18:20, we see Jethro, who was the father-in-law of Moses. He's telling Moses to teach the people God's decrees and instructions and to show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. And that's what we need. In this series through Lent, teaching us about discipleship, we need almost like a roadmap of how to walk in this way of discipleship, how we can live in the way which is following Jesus. So what is a disciple? Well, a disciple, the definition is that a disciple is a follower or pupil of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. So in the context of being a disciple of Jesus, it's to be a follower and a pupil, following his lead, his example, and his teaching. A disciple follows Jesus, is changed by him, and follows in his mission. So a disciple is a follower. And as I said, Scott reminded us last week of the foundation of being a disciple and the importance of knowing that we're loved by God, and everything that we do flows from there. That is the foundation. That is the spring and the fount from which we flow. So this week we're going to look at how we stay on course when we face resistance, and also the cost of following Jesus. So we're all here today because we're followers of Jesus. We want to learn and we want to become better followers. So we meet together in community where we can be fed. We can do this on our own. You can follow Jesus at home on your own and never meet anybody. But to be a real disciple, to really learn, to really have that formation of our faith, we need to be in community. It's a place where we can be fed, where we can give, and where we can learn from each other. And in church, in a community, we have a home. We have a home where our lives as disciples are formed. I've had the privilege of belonging to several church communities over the years, where my foundation was laid and where my roots were allowed to grow deep. I've sat under excellent teaching. I've been encouraged to take steps, sometimes way out of my comfort zone, but into different roles and experiences that have stretched me and enabled me to grow and flourish as my roots become stronger. That sense of being in community with a group of people where love is the key, where we love each other, where we want to see each other grow, where we allow each other to make mistakes, and where our roots can grow and become stronger. I also have good friends who have walked beside me for many years, and three really close friends in particular. These are friends who've encouraged me, they've listened to me, they've cried with me, they've supported me, but most of all, they've challenged me to go deeper in following Jesus, deeper as a disciple of Jesus. And the road hasn't always been easy, but it's been well, well worth it. Having a church community really helps us to love God by loving each other. Church is about God. That's probably an obvious statement. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about what we can give to help and support each other, not only about what we can get out of it. We don't have to like everything about our church. There is no such thing as the perfect church. And if there was, I wouldn't want to be in it. We might not like the chairs. We might not like the music, the preacher. We might be made uncomfortable as we're challenged by the teaching. But it's all about God, and it's all about how we can learn from him and also from each other as we follow him. And of course, we learn in church because we're a mixture of ages, we're a mixture of people, backgrounds, and we're a diverse community, as we had in a series before. But it's where we can come together and learn in our differences, learn. You know, the older can learn from the younger, younger from the older, all those in between. We learn from each other. One of the ways that I'm constantly challenged in my journey as a disciple is opposition. Now, we can get opposition in many shapes or forms. We can get physical opposition. We can get opposition from people ridiculing us for what we do. Why on earth would you want to come to church on a Sunday when there's so much to be done in the outdoors? There are people who try to pull us down and try to stop us from doing what we want to do. The challenge that I constantly face is the voice in my head that tries to drag me down and derail me. And I don't know, anybody else might feel like that as well. I often have this voice in my head that's trying to say, "What are you doing?" But I'm not alone. So I have the reading for today up on the screen. If anybody wants to follow it, it's from Mark 8. If you want to take out a Bible, it's Mark 8, verses 31 to 38. But if you want to just listen as well, I can read it out to you. So here's today's reading. Then Jesus, began to teach them. So is the disciples. Jesus was teaching the disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called a crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So we see here in this text, Jesus knew what it was to face opposition. We know that throughout the gospel accounts where we see Jesus being opposed by the scribes and the Pharisees. But here at the fairly early on in his mission, he knew what it was to face opposition, particularly to be challenged by Satan, to be sidetracked from his mission. Now, these days we often hear there's no such thing as Satan. There's no such thing as the enemy. People don't want to know about attacks. People don't want to know about sin. They don't want to know all these things anymore that we used to know, that we know from Scripture. But there is an enemy. Satan is real, and he is there. He wants to sidetrack us. He wants to take us away from being disciples of Jesus, from trying to follow him. But Jesus knew what it was like to be sidetracked, or to be attempted to be sidetracked. The most obvious example is the account of his temptation in the wilderness, like we had in the reading last week. Jesus responded to Satan's attempts to knock him off course with the words, "Get behind me, Satan." And here then, in this interaction between Peter and Jesus, we see it again. Jesus has just set out clearly what was going to happen to him, and impetuous Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. Wow, Peter rebukes Jesus. What Peter was effectively doing here was saying, there's no way this is happening, and it's not happening on my watch. It's amazing how we humans have the ability to hear, but not to listen. Listening for the voice of God is so important in our journey of discipleship. And often we have to intentionally make the time to slow down, make room, and just take as much time as we can to stop talking and listen. If Peter and the other disciples had really listened, they would have remembered what Jesus said about what was ahead for him. But of course, instead, Peter jumped in. I actually enjoy learning from Peter. I think he's a great character to really look at and learn learning from his mistakes, but also from all the good things that he did. But this, for me, is an ouch moment. It appears that Jesus, in response to what Peter says, Jesus is rebuking him. But he's not. Jesus recognizes what's happening, and he rebukes what was behind the words, the voice of the enemy. He recognized this voice immediately. As disciples, we need to recognize what is the voice of God or the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and what is the voice of the enemy trying to derail us and knock us off course, which is what was happening here. We recognize the voice of God through relationship with him, through prayer, through study of his word, and sometimes through circumstances or through other people. When we're walking in step with Jesus and living in the way of his word, if we're taking time to pray and to listen, and if we're coming alongside others who can help us through their wisdom and their good counsel, then we will be in a good place to hear God, to hear him speak to us, which often comes in a whisper, in a quiet voice. And sometimes we need to be quiet to hear that quiet voice. Over and over again, I have to do exactly what Jesus did and say those words, "Get behind me, Satan." I have to say it to the negative voice in my head that tries to knock me off course. It often follows that when I sense that I've heard God speak, or even sometimes when I'm speaking here, that very soon afterwards, the words, "Don't be ridiculous. God couldn't have said that," or something similar pop into my head. It reminds me of Eve in the Garden of Eden, if you remember. When Satan, in the form of a serpent, comes to tempt her and he says, "Did God really say that?" Paul also talks about this in 2 Corinthians 10:5 when he encourages us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. This isn't something new. It's a constant challenge for us to discern the voice of God. Developing our lives as disciples in community helps us to be in a better position to know what it is to hear God. When I've been unsure, I've sought wise counsel, and I've asked someone I trust to pray and to seek God for wisdom for me. I've also been in a position to do the same for others. Jesus then issued quite a challenge in the second part of our reading. He goes on from addressing the disciples to turning and addressing both the disciples and the crowd. And he says, "If anyone wants to become my follower, if any of you want to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Now, hang on a second. It's telling us to follow Jesus, to become a disciple, to be a disciple of Jesus. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That doesn't sound very easy or comfortable. We're not good at denying ourselves, I don't think. Well, I'm not anyway. Maybe all of you are wonderful at denying yourselves, but I'm not. We're not good at setting our own ego aside and looking to the needs of others, or doing what's best for others, sometimes at the expense of our own time or resources. Society would tell us to look after number one. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves. We've often heard that Jesus preached an upside-down kingdom. He didn't always say what people expected him to say. He said things that were countercultural to point people to a better way. He points us to the way, and he shows us how to get there. Lose your life for my sake. Being prepared to give up what we have for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of being true disciples. Now, we often associate the instruction to take up our cross as maybe living with something we don't particularly want. It could be, I don't know, I could ask for people to throw out suggestions. It could be a physical impairment. It could be just an emotional thing that we have to just work through and live with. It could be working with people we don't like. It could be living with people we don't like. Not in my case, of course. You can smile now, Joe, it's okay. But you can think of things that might be blocks, might be things that you have to bear in your life. That could be your cross. You could have to take up your cross and follow Christ. But the thing is, in Jesus' day, what he actually said there and then to the disciples and to the crowd would have had a completely different impact. In Jesus' day, the words "take up your cross" would have literally meant that the listeners should be prepared to be led out for public execution by crucifixion, following his example. What he was saying to the disciples and the crowd is, are you prepared to do this? Are you prepared to go as far as being crucified for me? And if they weren't, he was giving them a chance to back out, to change their minds. So in those days, to take up your cross was literally prepared to face death for him. Wow. Are we prepared to face death for Jesus? Debbie was talking about this, the guy that we were praying for, who is fully prepared to face death for Jesus. The reality is that several of the very people that Jesus was speaking to that day did face death for him. They did die on crosses into the future. So what are we prepared to do to be disciples? To what lengths are we prepared to go to follow him to the end? Annalia made a statement at our small group on Tuesday. I think she might have been quoting someone else. I didn't quite get that, or something that she had read. But what she said was that a journey growing in obedience isn't always comfortable. Jesus was saying, if you love me, obey me. He was saying that there would be cost in obeying him. And he was warning them that there might even be physical consequences. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says that every day I am in danger of death. Being a disciple of Jesus and living a life in dependence of God goes against culture today that would tell us to depend on ourselves. Mayfane, go it alone, don't trust anyone. In the complete book of discipleship, Bill Hull tells us that culture has made us self-seeking, self-fulfilling, self-focused, and self-reliant. I would tend to agree with them. Following Jesus is completely countercultural. It was in Jesus' day, and it still is today. But we need to be countercultural. We need to make Jesus our priority, to learn what it is to truly be a disciple of Jesus, to understand what the way is, and to follow it. And the best place, the best way that we can do this is to commit to it. Go against the draw of me, 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 and be prepared to give up your life for him. Thankfully, our lives aren't under threat if we profess to follow Jesus as it was in the early church or as it is in many places in the world. But it does go against the norm of what culture would tell us. We may have to change things in our lives to align with the way that God is leading us. It may mean that we have to use our voice and be prepared to speak out against behaviors that aren't right and that go against what the Bible says. Too often, it's much easier for us to zip our mouths and say nothing and just let the wrong keep going. But we need not to be ashamed of the gospel, as it says in our text, but to speak up for what is right and is in line with the way of Jesus. I wonder, are you or am I prepared to change the focus and to live through the lens of Jesus? Are you prepared this Lent to make changes, to make room for Jesus, to make room for making a change to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus? To make life less about self and more about the Holy Spirit leading us to think more about others, to let this church community form your life as a disciple of Jesus, to be a place where we learn together what it is to love God as we love one another on the way. We do this by committing ourselves to the task. We do it by looking out for others, by joining small groups where we can go deeper into God's word together as we deepen our relationships and get to know each other. It's in relationship that we help each other know what it is to hear God and to silence the voice of the enemy. If we aren't a threat, then the enemy won't be bothered about us. But as we consistently and consciously decide to follow the way of discipleship, then we may be faced with opposition. And being united in relationship with each other, rather than going it alone, is essential. So as I end, we have so much to learn as we follow in the way. As we follow in the way of Jesus and grow as his disciples. What we find in this passage today will help us on that journey. We need to be open and willing to learn. We need to listen for God's voice through his word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through other people. We need to be intentional in setting aside time to meet with him. We might consider looking for a mentor, someone who you can trust, who can draw alongside you and help you. Maybe get involved in serving others and take the focus off what you can get out of it. Maybe we can become more connected to this church community by joining in a small group where you can deepen your roots as you learn from God and learn from each other. Maybe we could use our time and our resources wisely in being sacrificial and giving to the work of building God's kingdom here on earth. We don't have to do any of this on our own. And in fact, it's almost impossible to do it on your own. We need to be in community. We need to build relationships with each other, to share together and to grow together. And we as leaders in this church, the clergy team, the staff team, the teaching team, small group leaders, we're here for you and we want to help you. We want to help you. So don't be afraid to reach out to one of us. Any one of us are willing to help you. There'll be prayer up here on my left after the service. If you want prayer, to stand with somebody in prayer, to commit to doing even one thing during this Lent to change what you're doing and become more aligned with Jesus. We're here to help. So let's walk this journey together as we discover what it is to walk in the way and to be disciples of Jesus. Amen.